for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, February the 20th, 1998. Ladies' meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mary Ann Flynn of Los Angeles, California, is the speaker of the evening.
For the presence of the Lord shall be your protection. The presence of the Lord shall be that which shall surround thee about in the day of trouble. Look not on the things that would cause your soul to be distressed, But look into the face of your Savior, the one who said He would constantly be with you, who would never fail you nor forsake you. Lift up your voices in praise to Him, your Redeemer, for He is the one that shall protect you in the day of adversity. He is the one that shall keep thee when the waters would want to overflow thee. He is the one that shall be your friend, and He is the one that shall be your protection in the day of trouble. So rejoice in your hearts, for this is the day that Jesus is calling you to Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
The theme of this meeting is the kingdom of God. And this was what we all need to press in, since we are the kingdom. And let God come through us and in us in such a way that there won't be anything else in the world but the kingdom. And because we haven't moved and we haven't consecrated ourselves like we should, we've had so many things out there in the world we wanted and we liked until we let these things happen. Now that judgments have come, but remember, you're not just here to play, but you're here to lift up the banner and know that the kingdom of God must come in manifestation in His people.
That's right, Mildred. That's right. Well, you all have a slip. I'm out of place here, but I'm here. You all have one of these in your folder, so you know what the announcements are. So we don't need to go over them. But Mary Ann Flynn's going to come and minister the rest of this evening, what the Lord has given to her and how she feels to minister unto you ladies. I could tell you that they've been friends of ours for years and all, but that's not important. Important thing is she's going to minister the word of the Lord.
Amen. Has been wonderful, and I don't know how far back we go. Maybe 45 years, I don't know. But I know Chuck and I have been married 45 years, and it seems like we've known you about ever since then.
Chuck is the first person who ever ministered on the campground.
Yes, we've had a lot of firsts, and we just praise the Lord for it. It's wonderful to begin something wonderful. And he's in Budapest, Hungary right now, beginning something wonderful. They're having a lot of churches go together, and they've called, and he must come. And so he went one way, and I went another way. Hallelujah. And you haven't met me before, but as a matter of fact, I used to be a secretary when we were pastoring in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Governor Faubus, back in the days. Anybody here old enough to remember Governor Faubus? In Little Rock, I worked there at the state capitol. His secretary hired me into the military department, and I was secretary to the air administrative assistant. And then we moved back into California, and I worked for a while at the aerospace industries. I was the chief counsel there in Huntington Beach as private secretary. And, you know, the Lord came one day, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Is this what you're going to be doing all your life?" You know, I was kind of settled in as a secretary. I had a good job and a very good, intelligent boss, a good family man. But whenever he put it to me that way, it broke my heart, and I thought, no. Because you've called us into the ministry. My husband was continually speaking for full gospel businessmen, even as he went to school back into his education. And the Lord just called us out. I informed my boss I was quitting. He was shocked and said it had been a good 5 years and was expecting another good 5 years. But, you know, the Lord had laid a real burden on our heart. And this was around 30, 31, 32 years ago. And we both quit, just absolutely cut it off and said, "Lord, here we are." We knew what we were doing, and we have lived miraculous. Let me tell you what, God can take care of you. I'm telling you, God can feed you, take care of you real good. I mean, really good. He sent us all around the world. He keeps us day by day. And I've learned to trust Him. We've learned to trust Him. We've been in all kinds of places overseas. But God has always been with us. And I'll tell you, He will never leave us nor forsake us. His word is true, and He'll keep His word. We have to hold His word up to Him, and He'll be faithful to His word.
Hallelujah. You know, as I sat there tonight, I thought, Lord, I'd like for this to really and truly be a miracle weekend. How many of you would like it to be a miracle weekend? How many of you need a miracle? I want you to know that God wants to do miracles for us. He's given us miracles. He wants. In fact, my husband and I were ministering at a family camp in Glorieta, New Mexico, 1 year. And the camp was rolling, you know, after two or three services, you know, we're all rolling. And as we were speaking, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, have the people ask me for a miracle. He interrupted my thoughts as we were teaching, and he said, have the people ask me for a miracle. He'd never done that before, but I obeyed immediately, and I said, I want all of us now to ask God for a miracle. I just obeyed. And so everyone raised their hand and began to ask God for a miracle. And we went on teaching, and that was that. You know, what we do for the Lord, we leave it up to him. You know, we don't keep count of anything. We are set to do his will. Isn't that what we want, his will? You know, that's the input. In fact, that's the power of prayer. Whenever we pray his will, he moves. I've been reading in Watchman Nee, and he's sharing how that we do not coerce or force God to do anything in our prayer life. Did you know that? God has a plan for our life. Oh, I can't get into that. That's for tomorrow. But let me tell you something. Whenever we pray and we get into praying in his will, he moves. He acts. He's waiting for us to get in sympathy. He uses that term, with his will, so that he can act. Hallelujah. It's tremendous. You ought to get that book. I'll get the name of it and get it to you in case you'd be interested in it. It's a wonderful book. But the next year we went back again to this family camp, and as we came up, a lady met us in the back. And she says, do you remember last year when you said, have the people ask me for a miracle? I said, yes, I do. And she said, well, I raised my hand and I asked God for a miracle. Isn't this something? God wants us to ask him for a miracle. He wants us to believe him for a miracle, and he wants to do miracles for us. Because there's many things that come into our life that we need a miracle. Our sister needed a miracle, believed for it, and spoke it. You know, we're creators. We're creators. We create with our actions. We create with the words of our mouth. Did you know that? We actually create. We create all the time. Hallelujah. You created. Hallelujah. You got in harmony with God's will. Well, how do we create? You know what we do? The Bible says that when you enter a house, I've had occasion to do this, or a church. It says, say to that place, what? Peace be to this place. And if anyone is worthy there, if they understand what you're doing, if they love the Lord and they receive that peace, and I think we need to act on whenever we're prayed for, whenever someone speaks something created over us, creative over us, we need to say, I receive that. I seal that. Hallelujah to myself. And it says, your peace that you have created, that you have desired, will come to them. That's what the Bible says. And it says, if it's not received, it just fizzles out. No, it doesn't say that. Wouldn't you expect that? Well, they didn't receive it, so it just didn't happen. No. You created peace with your mouth. And it says, if it's not received, that peace that you just created will come back to the Creator. Hallelujah. Whenever we talk to our children, our husbands, our loved ones, we're creating. We say, you're so sweet. You're just so sweet. You're so kind. You're so thoughtful. Do you see what we're saying? Hallelujah. We're bringing out the best. The Lord intends for us to bring out the best in one another. The enemy's job is to bring out the worst. Isn't that right? The world loves to uncover, to discover. And what are we supposed to be doing? Covering. Not covering sin. Covering so that someone can recover from flaws or faults. Circumstances in their life that they'd like to recover from. Hallelujah. We're powerful in God. The Lord Jesus said, everything that you've seen me do, you can do. Why? Because God is in Jesus. Jesus is in God. And he says, Jesus is in us, God is in us, and we're in them. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in our Lord, and our Lord's in us. how powerful we are, and it's time that we start living in that power. I mean, it really is time, for we have been handpicked, chosen to live in this day. Aren't you proud of that? Not of yourself, but of God for doing that for us. Hallelujah. Handpicked. We could have been born 500 years ago, 200 years, but we were born now to see this thing through. Hallelujah. Finish it up until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Hallelujah. The enemy gets us so embroiled in everyday living that we can't think of the higher life that God has called us to and the power that's resident within us. And so the lady said, well, whenever I said, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm asking you for a miracle. She said, the Lord spoke to me and said, okay, Friday. And she says, oh, I couldn't wait till Friday came. She didn't even bother to tell us what her need was, but it was financial. Anybody have a financial need? We're going to believe for a miracle for that this weekend. We might as well have it, huh? Praise God. And she said, I just couldn't wait for Friday. And she said, finally, Friday came. And she said, nothing happened that morning, and at noontime came, and then afternoon came, and finally evening came. It had been Friday all day, and nothing had happened. Excellent time whenever we're expecting and believing God for something, and then we don't see it happen like we think it ought to happen, when it ought to happen, how it ought to be. And so what happens? We say, oh, well, you know, maybe it wasn't God, maybe my thoughts. Ever think it's just your thoughts? How many times we push God's speaking aside because the enemy says it's just your thoughts. And we say, I think you're right. Instead of saying, no, I hear the voice of the Lord, and you reinforce it to yourself. God says, you hear that? They say they hear my voice. So we're going to make sure we talk to them and they're going to hear my voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so she said, and as I said, it's an excellent opportunity at that time for the enemy to come in and discourage us, and we drop a matter. Not her. She says, never mind, next Friday. And she says, I was excited until the next Friday came. And she says, finally, Friday came. And once again, nothing happened. It was just simply Friday. And nothing happened. And do you know what she said? You've heard this before? She said, next Friday. You see, she hung on to the word. She believed the word. She believed that she had heard from the Lord. And so the next Friday came, and she said that morning that she was out watering the lawn. And she said the phone rang. She ran in and got it. It was a local radio station there in Glorieta. And they said that, now this is such and such a station, and you know how this works. If you know the amount of money in the jackpot, we have jackpots every Friday, and if you know the amount of money in the jackpot, that you get that amount of money. Well, she said, I didn't have the foggiest how much money was in the jackpot. She hadn't been keeping track. And she said, Lord, show me. Help me, Lord. And she said, words began to run across, like, you know, on a ticker tape or something. She says, words 299.96. And as it ran across her vision, she told him, 299 points. It was almost $3,000. And she gave it in numbers. And he says, yes, that's right. That's right. And she said, he said, how did you know that? And she says, my Lord told me. And he says, you know what? This is a different Friday from other Fridays, because on this Friday, the jackpot is double. Hallelujah. And she began to shout and praise the Lord. And she shouted and praised the Lord while she was on the phone. She said, my shouting and praising the Lord and saying, my Lord told me, he played that every day for a month, all throughout that area of Glorieta, New Mexico. And she said, I couldn't wait to call my husband and tell him we had the money. And so she couldn't reach him at work, and so she couldn't wait to tell somebody, so she called her daughter at the bank, and she began to tell her daughter, and she's trying to find her husband, and her daughter says, Mom, Dad is here over in a cubicle trying to get a loan. I'll patch you through. And the phone was for him, and he picked up the phone, and he put the phone back down. He says, you know, I don't need the money. I already have it. Hallelujah. This is God, and he wants us to live on that kind of level. And we can choose the level we live on. And really, I'm glad I said that, because that leads me right to what I'd like to be the pivot
of this conference, and that is in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 9. I could give it to you, but it's profound if we read it. They use this a lot for taking the offering. In fact, it's a real good offering scripture, but I'm not intending it as an offering scripture unless you'd like to see Glenn or Irma afterwards and help them with the conference. But let's try to get the ultimate meaning of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly." You know what that means? It means he who lives that way. In everything he says, in everything he does, in everything he gives, in every opportunity he has, whether it's to compliment someone, whether it's to make a phone call, whether it's to bless someone financially, whatever it may, maybe it's to help out someone, maybe go down to the church and put out chairs, maybe it's to cook and help out in the cafeteria, in the kitchen, whatever it may be, it says that whoever lives this way, sparingly and grudgingly, will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. In other words, that's the way you'll live. You know, that's just the way it is. It's not a sin. You'll go to heaven. It just, know this, you'll live that way. The promotion will almost be enough. Things will almost work out. It's sparingly and grudgingly. And then it tells us, he who sows generously. Everything he does is generous. Whether it's to give a hug, whether it's to give some time, whatever it may be that's in your power to minister and to help out someone. It says, he who sows generously and that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. That's the way you're going to live. Now, what does it say? You know, sometimes we come to a new year. We're just in the second month of this year. And we think, gee, I hope this is a better year than last year. You know, I hope finances are better this year. I hope I walk in more favor this year. And the Lord is saying, no, 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 no. You conduct yourself so that the way that you want to live will come to pass in your life. And the next verse says that. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Purpose in your heart, how you want to live. Full of power, full of grace. Lifting up God's children to where you're going to hear those words, and as much as you did it unto the least of these in the estimation of men, you were doing it to me. Hallelujah, Matthew 25. And we decide, we purpose in our heart, we make up our mind how we want to live, and then we conduct ourselves that way. And that's the way we live. So my point is, God has put us in control of our life. Isn't that something? You know, we don't just sit around and wait for something. He said, ask, and you will receive. There's a control. Hallelujah. He says, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be open. Watchman Nee says this. If it was automatically that he just continually give, and you just walk along, you know, being real good, and it would happen, he said he would not have said, ask, and you would receive. If there would be automatically the Lord's will on earth like it is in heaven, he would not have said, pray. That the Lord's will be done on earth like it is in heaven. If he's automatically going to thrust laborers into the field, then why did he say, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will thrust forth laborers? I mean, we are laborers with him. We pray his will and he does it. Hallelujah. Do you see? Hallelujah. It's powerful. And we're going to believe him this weekend. For miracles, it's not the point of the weekend, but we may as well have some miracles along with it just to fill our life full of good things. The Lord intends for our life to be full of good things. We after that, I was so excited about miracles that I spoke for an Aglow meeting near us there at the golf club, little place where they were meeting. And that night it came to me again, and I just said, ladies, how many of you would like a miracle? How many of you need one? And so many raised their hands. And I says, all right, we're going to pray. And we did at the end of the service. We prayed. They came up. We prayed for one lady. She came, and she had cancer. And she was expecting to go to the hospital the latter part of that week for surgery. I forget the size of it, but it was very large, very large cancer. Then my husband and I went out of town, across the nation, and whenever we came back, we had a lot of calls on our answer phone. One lady in particular, the head of the Aglow meeting, was trying so hard to reach us because she said that after we believed God for a miracle for that lady,
that when she went to the doctor, he reexamined her before surgery, and he said, no, he says, we can't operate. He says, this cancer is so shrunk, we're going to have to watch it from here on out. It's not the same. Hallelujah. She did not have to have surgery. God undertook for her. You know, it's simply asking and believing. And not letting the enemy cheat us out of the things that the Lord purchased for us. Praise God. All right, with that in mind, that God has put us in charge and in control of so much of our life that we didn't hardly realize, we want to get into the body of our message. And let's turn. I'm going to read some scriptures because we're kind of laying groundwork this night. Turn to Psalms 91. We all know what psalm that is, but we want to look at it from just a real special angle for a little while. Get to a point. We know it so well. I'm reading it from the Amplified. It's such a wonderful psalm. We call upon it so many times, especially when we travel. But this psalm is so powerful in our life. And I want us to look at it differently than we ever have before. And it tells us in the first verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. That's just wonderful, isn't it? And it goes on to say about this secret place, I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. See, and whenever we're dwelling in this secret place, it says, then he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover us with his pinions, and his truth and his faithfulness are a shield and buckler. We'll not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. That's what that arrow means. Amplified brings it out in more of its clarity and intensity. We won't fear the arrows or the evil plots, the slanders of the wicked. God will put them down, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or destruction at sudden death. I'm trying to move quickly. And 1,000 will fall at your right, 10,000 at your right, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible. Where? In the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. One day, I had taught on this general subject in times past, and then I had stopped. You know, I try to get it out to the body, and then I cease and go on to the next revelation that God gives me. And so I hadn't taught on this for a while. My sister-in-law, my prayer partner, my husband's youngest sister, came in one day, and she was looking over the bar into the kitchen where I was, and she said, you know, Marianne, I realized something. I've come to the conclusion that there is a secret place in God. That there really is a secret place in God. And well, she pushed my button. And I turned around and I said, yes, there is a secret place in God. I know what it is. I know where it is. And I know how to get there. But at this point, my sister-in-law is hanging over the counter going like this. And I just let her hang for a little bit, you know. And then I began to share with her, and it was a glorious time of sharing. But we do find, ladies, I want to cause you to know and to never forget that there's so many places in God, so many wonderful places we can snuggle up to, but there is a secret place in him. And the Bible tells us, and I'm just going to give you a few scriptures right now for the tape. It tells us in Psalms 27:5, in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. You know, sometimes we feel exposed to the enemy. We feel like darts and things are coming from every direction. This is what I want us, if we get this truth, to where we enter this secret place, we will be so much more secure. We'll have far less darts hitting us. You know, and instead it will hit him. So, and we know, hallelujah, they're diffused. Psalms, all right. Well, let's go to Matthew 6:6. You don't have to turn. I'll just read it. When you pray, go into your most private room. Pray to your Father who is in secret. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you in the open. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you the treasures of darkness
and hidden riches of secret places. Okay, now, so we know without a shadow of doubt that there's a special place called secret place. So, what is it? Well, the Bible tells it. It tells us that in Psalms 31:20, in the secret of your presence, in the secret of your presence, you hide me from the plots of men. You keep me secretly in your pavilion from the strife of tongues. Hallelujah. So we find that the secret place is his presence. Well, you may say, well, my goodness, I just love the presence of the Lord. It's just wonderful. You know, we just, in fact, tonight, didn't you feel the presence of the Lord? It was wonderful, wasn't it? It was a measure of his presence. It's not the perfect presence I'm talking about. It's a measure of that presence. Well, can there be measures of the presence? Yes, there can. That could be. In fact, Ephesians 3:19 tells us that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. There's the richest measure of the divine presence. And I want to introduce you to that. Some of you, I know, have probably entered it. It's a place where you enter into the Shekinah glory. It's a place that you, with thought, enter. Hallelujah. And it's a glorious place, and from that place you are never the same. That's a degree of glory that you've entered into, to another degree of glory. And by the way, I might mention right here that there is a difference between his blessing and his presence. Think about it. You can have his blessing and not have the fullest measure of his presence. Isn't that what the lepers had? The 10 lepers? I was listening to the tape one day many years ago when the Lord showed this to me, and we've shared it around the world. But as I listened to it, I thought, oh, yes, yes, the story of the 10 lepers is coming on. Yes, I was busy in the room, and I knew the story of the 10 lepers. We all know the story of the 10 lepers, how that they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed, and only one was thankful and came back. And we should be thankful to God, and that's a good revelation of that scripture. That's real good. Thankfulness. But, you know, as I listened to it, I began to realize that because he was thankful, it brought him into the presence of the Lord. Yeah, I'm a little ahead of myself. I hate that when I do it, but I can't help it. The others were all blessed, weren't they? They were all healed. All 10 of them were healed. That was wonderful blessing. Thank God. And get all the blessing you can, by the way. But one stopped. And you know, Jesus told him, he said, go show yourself to the high priest. I was telling Chuck this on the telephone when he calls me every night when he's away and makes me a part of the meeting. I've been with him all over the world, even though I didn't leave the house at times. He calls me every evening, although from Budapest I haven't gotten a call yet. He got as far as Chicago and called me, and I haven't had one since. But I said, Chuck, let me tell you this. It's so wonderful because one of them came back, and in coming back and falling at Jesus' feet, he was in Jesus' presence. And Jesus said to him, were not 10 healed? Behold, thou art made whole. There's a difference between those who were blessed and those who come into my presence. And not only that, he wanted to know where they were. Well, Lord, you told them to go show themselves to the high priest. That makes sense to tradition. Tradition says, go to the high priest, let him look you over, and then let him apply the oil to, you know, your ear and your thumb and all of those, your toe and of your right side. That makes sense. That falls along right with tradition. One broke from tradition. Let something new, ran to Jesus and was healed and made whole. Hallelujah. And my husband was sharing that with the group that he was ministering for that night. It was, and as he was sharing it, the Lord showed him. He says, well, but he did go show himself to the high priest. Hallelujah. There was a fresh revelation that came with a blessing that came in the presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the presence I'm talking about, is a presence you never forget. It will leave its mark on you. Hallelujah. You come into it with purpose. The word the Lord tells us in Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You think you've been happy? You don't know until you've been in that Shekinah glory. It's for everyone. The invitation is there, but how many of us or how often do we avail ourselves of going into that presence? 1 Chronicles 16:27 tells us, honor and majesty are found in thy presence. Strength and joy are found in thy sanctuary. Honor and majesty are found in the presence I'm talking about. 1 Chronicles 16:11 tells us, seek the Lord in his strength. Yearn. Ladies, I tell you, I want to start something in you this weekend. Yearn for and seek his face. And to be in his presence continually. We're talking about the difference between the blessing and the presence. All of them are wonderful. Esther had the blessing of being the queen. Isn't that right? What a blessing that was. It was wonderful. I imagine she had ladies in waiting. You know, they drew her bath. You know, they helped her dress. I could get used to a lifestyle like that. But one day, the lives of her people were threatened. And it was not enough to be blessed with being the queen. Having a little bit of power, a little bit of attention, it was not enough. And you know how interesting with Esther. You know, whenever she saw Mordecai out at the gate and he had dressed in sackcloth and ashes, what an embarrassment. Her uncle out there in sackcloth and ashes. Wailing and carrying on, and here the servants came and told her. And you know what? Instead of inquiring, what is the matter? What is wrong? What can I do to help whatever is the matter? Does this sound like us sometimes? She tried to fix it herself, you know, put a Band-Aid on it. So she got some clothing, some shoes, you know, some nice things, and she gave it to her servants, and she said, here, take this to Mordecai and tell him to put it on. Fix it all up. But would it have fixed it? A lot of times, we fix things ourselves, ladies, with our mouth, with our actions. We want to, and yet the danger is ever present. It doesn't really fix it. You know what? Some things, I believe, are fixed when we go into the presence of the King. Nothing would help her but to go into the King's presence. That's where her problem was solved. And fixed. So it's not enough, folks, just to have the blessing. We have to go on in to his presence. And let's do not cheat ourselves any longer. All right? How many of you want to be in the presence of the Lord? This presence, the perfect presence, the fullness. Hallelujah. How? How do we get into this presence? This particular presence? Well, we really know. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving brings us into this presence. Psalms 100, verse 2, tells us, come before his presence with. Are you getting a little word in here? With singing. There's another gift that brings us into his presence. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. There's an entering in to his presence. I tell you, someday you may go in your bedroom, hopefully right away. You may begin to praise the Lord. You may begin to be thankful and to just offer thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you kept us this day. Thank you, Lord, that on that trip you took us out safely, brought us back safely. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have a car that runs. Thank you, we have a roof over our head. And we just thank him and thank him. And he just reaches down and lifts us up into his presence. So now we've got the formula, right? The recipe. Us ladies love recipes. We can follow recipes. So then the next day we say, oh, I want to go back into the presence of the Lord. And so you know exactly how to do it, don't you? You begin to be thankful and you thank him and you thank him and you thank him and you thank him and you thank him. And finally you wise up and you begin to sing to him. Hallelujah. And then you begin to clap. Maybe you get up and dance before him a little bit. Sometimes my sister-in-law and I will just, I'll say, let's get up and dance before the Lord. You know, we've been praying down on our knees. We get up and offer another gift, and all of a sudden, he brings us into his presence. Hallelujah. You know, in olden times, whenever a camel train was were coming into a new city, and they wanted the king or the governor of the city to receive them, and they needed audience there, and they were carrying their wares and everything, you know what they would do? They would send someone on ahead with a beautiful gift to the king or to the governor of that place. And the governor, who is this? Well, this is so-and-so. They're coming in a camel train. They'll be here in a few days. Well, this is beautiful. What did you say his name was? Was so-and-so. This is his camel train that's coming. Oh, that's really nice. And then pretty soon another day goes by, and here comes another lovely gift. Who is this person? Well, this is so-and-so, and they're not far from the city now, and they wish an audience. Is that right? That's interesting. And finally, here comes another beautiful gift, and the governor, then he just can't wait for them to come. Well, as soon as he gets in the city, see that he comes right here to the palace. Hallelujah. This is what we're doing. We send up our praise. We send up our thanksgiving. We say, Lord, here we're coming. We want to be in your presence. We desire you more than anything else. Nothing satisfies but you and your presence. Hallelujah. And he swoops down and lifts us up into his presence. You know, the Lord has led me many times, and I've really not really realized I was being led. I've been led at times and knew I was being led. And then there have been a few times in my life that he has spoken directly to me. How many of you, the Lord has spoken directly to your spirit? You heard his words, and you never forget the words. Ever, 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 ever. You can't. It's branded on you in somewhere. You can quote it forever because his voice, he has spoken directly to you. And it's such a wonderful thing. One day I had time, and I decided that I was going to come before the Lord and just worship him and love him and just talk to him and just fellowship with him. I had a closet that you could walk in, a walk-in closet. I actually went in the closet. I love to really be private because, you know, when I talk to the Lord, I drag it all out. Everything I'm ashamed of, and I want him to take out, and I want him to heal and to get away, and I just want it out of my life. And I don't know if we'll ever get over that. Just as soon as we think we've got things cleared up, he pulls the cover back a little bit, and you see what else you've got to take care of. At least that is with me. And so I got in the closet and shut the door, got down amongst the shoes and the purses and belts and everything, and I just began to talk to the Lord, and I just told him all about everything, and then I just began to love him, and I was so glad that he loved me and that he had received me, and I was just having a good time in the Lord, and I was just, the more I loved him, the more I praised him, until suddenly I was in a place I hadn't been before. It was so awesome and so wonderful, and I realized that I was in the presence of the Lord like I had never been before. You think, why do I wait so long? That's what I'm saying to you. And it was so glorious, and I didn't do any more. I didn't speak. I didn't have to, because, you know, you don't even stop and think about it. There's just this communication. You don't have to open your lips. And it was as if the way that I sensed the presence was as if he was sitting there, and I just kind of leaned my head over on his knee. You know, you can do that in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if it was. It just felt like that to me. That's the way I perceived the presence of the Lord. And I was just, and I didn't want to make a noise because I didn't want to break this moment. It was the most wonderful thing I'd ever experienced. I was there in the presence of the Lord, and I knew it. And then I just became so overcome with love and with joy and peace and tears just flowed down, but I didn't say anything. I was very quiet because I wanted to stay there. And then I said something. I suddenly realized something, and I really laid a good one on the Lord. I said, in my heart, I said, oh, I know what you did. When you created me, you fixed a place in me that nothing else will fill and satisfy and make me feel like this. But you, I have to come to you to feel like this. I thought I'd really told him something fabulous. And it was the way I really felt. I didn't expect him to tell me anything, but he said, and there is a place in me that nothing fills or satisfies but you. I could live forever on that. It was so unexpected and so spoken so directly to me.
And I know it's not for me only, isn't it? It's for all of us. There's a place in God that He waits for us to come and fill that place. He loves us so much. He wants us in this perfect presence where we take time. I've been in a few services where actually as a group we entered into the presence of the Lord, but it doesn't happen very often. We have a good time. We're blessed. We experience the measure of His presence. It's wonderful, and I think it's the order of the day. But whenever we have an opportunity, whenever we're at home especially, and we have that time, we need to say, "Oh, Lord, here I come." And we begin to come before Him, and we begin to lift up our praise. We begin to worship until He lifts us up into that presence. And we're talking about measures of the presence. And just as kind of a last little bit to show you, the Lord began to deal with me about the two on the road to Emmaus. And that's a classic example of measures of His presence. Because the two, they had been in Jerusalem, and they were going back to Emmaus. The Lord had been crucified. They knew He was Messiah, and yet He was killed. You know, how could this be? They saw Him die. And so they were talking as they were going. And the Bible tells us that as they were going along, discussing all of these events, that Jesus appeared to them, behind them. If you get the intent of the words, it means He kind of appeared a little bit behind them and then was kind of catching up to them. You know, here comes the stranger walking along. And they notice Him, and they speak to Him and say hello. And He says, "Well, what have you been discussing so intently?" We know the story. And they said, "Oh, the things that have happened in Jerusalem. Jesus, Son of God, baptizer with the Holy Ghost, risen Lord, said to these two men, what things? Tell me about it. What things?" And I believe He says to us whenever we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, you've been so good." I believe He says, "How good? What do you mean? What? What was it? How did it make you feel? Did you really like it? Was it the right color? Was it the right model?" I believe that. And then we just tell Him all about it. For the risen Lord said what things? He wanted them to tell Him all about how they felt about the things and what it was. And they said, "Oh, bless your heart, you must be a stranger. You must have just arrived. Let us tell you what has happened." And they told Him what had happened. What does Jesus do? He begins to open up the Scriptures. Of course, we realize from the Scriptures, it says they didn't know Him. Their eyes were holding. Here they were, right there with Jesus, and yet they didn't know it was Him. But as He opened the Scriptures up to them, their hearts began to burn within them. Oh, it was good. They were in a measure of His presence. They didn't know it was Him. They weren't in the fullness of His presence, were they? It was just a measure. They didn't know that it was Him. But it felt good. It was blessing them good. And that's wonderful. And finally, they get to their home. And when they get to their home, they said, "Oh, we're here already." And the Lord says, "Oh, this is your home. Well, that's nice. Well, it's been good talking to you." And He made as if He would go on. And they said, "Oh, no, come on in. No, we'd like to have you come on in for a little while. Rest. You know, you must be tired. That's a long way. It was about a 7-mile trip." I imagine the Lord said, "Oh, no, you must be tired. And you've been walking a long time. You've been through a great trauma. I'll just go on, and you just go on in and rest and be blessed." And I wonder how many times tells us the same thing. "Oh, that was good. Oh, I'm just so happy. Just bless me really good. Well, okay, I'll see you next Sunday, okay? Or I'll see you day after tomorrow. Or I'll see you next time in the prayer closet." And how many times we say, "Okay, but thank you for blessing me. Ooh, the chills. It was just wonderful." And it is. But these two said, "No. You've blessed us. You've ministered to us. We are not letting you go. You must come in and let us bless you. Let us minister to you." See what I'm saying? We bless Him and we minister to Him. That's where it's all at. It's ministry to Him. We're involved in ministry to others, and that's good. But ministry to Him causes ministry to others to be so much more effective. So much more of a flow. Hallelujah. Ministry begets ministry. Hallelujah. You spend time ministering to Him and everything else will fall into place, ladies. And we know the rest of the story.
I imagine they washed his feet. They probably gave him something to anoint to refresh his face with. And then they gave him the position of blessing the bread. And don't you know the Lord had been waiting for this time? I mean, just think how personable he is with these two. And I can just imagine as he picks up the bread, knowing I am the bread of life. My body was broken. And I'm about to open the eyes. Let them just see just what it is. Just the visitation they've had. And let them see me. And then I'll go on. And I imagine he says, Heavenly Father. It says their eyes were opened. And they saw him. And he disappeared out of their midst. Hallelujah. That's his perfect presence. Oh, they'll never get over that. They ran all the way back 7 more miles with nothing to report to the disciples. Hallelujah. To report to the disciples. They'd seen Jesus. Hallelujah. Alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise God. I challenge you. Spend time to go into his presence. And I'm reminded, and I'm closing with this part of it. But I want us to get prepared, because I believe Jesus is going to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. But I'm reminded of a dear, dear, dear friend that I have. Her name's Sharon Ingalls. Some of you probably have heard of David Ingalls' music. And they're very good friends of ours. She comes out to visit me. I go to visit her. They have a church and they have radio stations and they have a lot going on. They're very, very busy. They're about our age, Chuck and me. And so I have been able to observe Sharon, observe her life. She's a very quiet person. She's like a pillar in the church, you know. She's like the type that you don't hardly see and you don't hardly hear, but she's there working, laboring, upholding, blessing, being a blessing, and just very admirable. And I've just learned to appreciate her walk and her life. Very quiet, very unassuming. And one night the Lord gave her a dream. Very unusual dream, and I've passed it on to several groups because it has meant so much to me. And the dream was this. He said, Sharon, I want you to do 4 things. And if you knew Sharon, knew how humble she was and how unassuming, you would realize how impacting this dream was. And he said, I want you to go and speak peace to this one. He named the person who's lost their mate and comfort them. Said, number 2, I want you to go to your children and ask them, do they have a head knowledge or a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number 3, I want you, when you get up in the morning, to twirl and rejoice and count that you have the things you need and you will have them. And in the evening, this is part of the third part, and in the evening I want you to recount the wondrous works of the Lord. And number 4, he said, I want you to be in the Word, for if you're in the Word, those that you pray for will be healed. And if you're not, they won't. And I thought, you know, that's pretty profound. It was a dream, but I think it makes sense, don't you? It makes sense. And I had someone at one of my retreats came up to me and gave me a piece of paper. And on it, someone had looked up the meaning of the word and the root words of the word virtue. And it means strength, means a lot of things. But one of the things that virtue means is to twirl, rejoice, and be hilariously happy. Hallelujah. Yeah. Did you know that? The virtuous woman? Praise God. So I expect every one of you, when you get up in the morning, hallelujah, it works. It will not only get your physical juices going, it will get the spiritual juices going. Hallelujah. Twirl and rejoice and count that you have the things you need through the Lord, that you are rejoicing, that you are praising. Hallelujah. And you'll have them. And of course, we recount the wonderful works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's a wonderful walk. It's a wonderful walk. The Lord loves us so much, and he wants to answer our prayers. Jesus twirled and rejoiced, didn't he? Remember that? Whenever the disciples came back and they said, Oh, praise the Lord, the demons are subject to us. And the Lord was unimpressed. He says, well, of course they are.
I saw Satan fall as lightning. It's a foregone fact that demons are subject to you. Don't have to rejoice about that. That's a fact. But he says, but rejoice. Here's something to rejoice, that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And then he began to twirl and rejoice. Hallelujah. Whew. Now that was something worth twirling and rejoicing about. Thank God. Hallelujah. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand. You know, there's many ways to rejoice in the Lord. I mentioned a few. I mentioned clapping. I mentioned singing. Thanksgiving. Singing. Singing in the Spirit. Singing in your own language. Your own known language. There's many offerings that we can give to the Lord. And we don't want to. Some churches that I've been in, I've seen where they've lapsed into every time they say, well, let's praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And they all just clap. Clapping is one of the gifts that we give. But we don't want to just do one, because he is a God of variety. He doesn't always respond to just one. And so we want to praise him. We want to speak it out with our voices. And this is really what the Lord's commissioned me to do. We speak out the praises and the rejoicing as we praise him. And for a little bit, and I have a purpose for this, for a little while, I want us to come forward, not to remain in our seats. I know it'll be crowded up here, but leave your seat and come forward. And I want us to begin to just praise him, rejoice, give him thanksgiving. Just stand. I want you to raise your hands and stand. Begin to praise him. Begin to tell him that you desire his presence. Yes, just that's right. You can come all the way. But everybody, come and just begin to praise the Lord. Just begin to rejoice. Just begin to love him. And don't let it be just a moment, but let's go a few moments and just praising him and offering thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is anything too hard for me? For yea, I say unto thee, that even as I called you even as a child. And yea, I say unto thee, that I am the one that has groomed thee, and I have brought thee this far to do thee good. And yea, you will see yet what I will do. And I say unto thee, the provision that you have desired of me, that you have delighted in, you will see it. I say unto thee, and you will say, the Lord hath indeed prepared a banquet for me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Blessing, that's it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I've showed you my mercy time and time again, and I will continue to show you my mercy. For yea, even as I have spared you, as a father spareth the son, it is for a purpose, and it is that I might use you, and that I might show you my glory, and that I might show you that I will right wrongs and omissions, and I will bring a fullness unto thy life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.